presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Let us begin with some breaking news. Now, if you're listening on the radio or the podcast later on today, this won't be quite as new to you as it is to us right now. But as we do this show live on video, this literally just happened a couple of moments ago. The University of Georgia has released a statement about some big-time upcoming non-conference games. Now, one of these has been thought to be in the works for a while. It is now made official that Georgia has announced a home-and-home series with Florida State for 2027 and 2028. The 2027 game will be in Tallahassee. The 2028 game will be in Athens. Georgia has also added another home-and-home with Clemson way into the future. They've already previously announced they'll play in 2029 and 2030, but they're also going to do a home-and-home together in 2032 and 2033, which just sounds like a million years in the future, but that's kind of when these things have to be scheduled now. If you're curious or if you want to go ahead and book your hotel travel, it's going to be Athens in 2032 for Georgia Clemson, and it's going to be in Clemson for Georgia on 2033. Now, a couple thoughts for me on this, and once again to kind of recap all of this, Georgia has made it official. This has been rumored to be in the works now for quite some time. Home and home coming up with Florida State on 2027, 2028. The Athens game will be in 2028. And then another home and home with Clemson in 2032 and 2033. First of all, I would advise maybe not to get so cynical about how far into the future these things are scheduled. This is just the way that things are going now. Now, I do believe that there is a really good chance that a lot of things changes in college football between now and then. Obviously, by the time you stretch to the end of the next decade, you've had at least one college football playoff contract torn up and started again, and you'll have new TV contracts in place. So some of these games that we either see on the schedule for the future or some of the ways in which we currently view SEC scheduling, some of those things are almost bound to change because it seems like there may be some momentum growing for the SEC to go to a 9-game conference schedule, which I think in most cases would give these kinds of contracts an out, the same way we've seen Georgia exercise some of those out clauses with some of the non-conference opponents it had scheduled a few years ago. So there's a chance a lot of this changes, but for now, this is the news that we have, and I personally think this is interesting news. For instance, I wouldn't get too worked up about the fact that as it stands right now, both of these games, Florida State in 2028, Clemson in 2032, will both be in the even numbered years. I think that Georgia, as it stands right now, is looking for a little schedule improvement for its odd numbered years. That's the year in which Georgia goes to Auburn, goes to Tennessee, goes to Georgia Tech in the current scheduling format. And so if that remains the same, then all you've really done with these two non-conference games is add more beef to your even year scheduling. I wouldn't be too worried about that because heaven only knows how different college football is going to look by the time you get to that point. It is nice to see, though, Georgia playing a big game here, and Georgia swimming in deep waters when it comes to scheduling. I think there's a really good chance that by the time some of these games start being played in the middle part of the next decade, that's really what everybody in college football is going to be doing. I think we're heading towards an area in which college football scheduling is just going to get more substantial because around the country, at Georgia thus far, I don't know this has been a huge problem, but at college football, generally speaking, around the country, there's an attendance issue, and at some places, it's getting to the point of being a crisis. Do you realize that a place like Missouri, for instance, which is not a football power the way we think of Georgia being one, but it is in the SEC, do you realize that according to their, not the exaggerated number of announced attendance, but the official turnstiles, how many times the turnstile spun on a given Saturday? Do you know that Missouri had fewer than 25,000 fans per game last year, according to some published reports out there? So there's a little bit of a scheduling attendance crisis when it comes to college football, and scheduling bigger non-conference games may be the way to alleviate that. So by the time we get to the 2020s and 2030s, everyone may be playing a very full non-conference schedule. But for now, Georgia is one of the programs kind of leading the way towards doing that. It started with Notre Dame in 2017. It continues with the Irish coming back to Athens this year, and then some of the other scheduling announcements we've had. A couple of other early thoughts on this as we're all processing this. Georgia officially announcing it with Florida State and announcing another home and home with Clemson. the one thing that I think is undeniable now, and I don't say this in any way to disparage what some of the non-conference neutral sites have done, like here in Atlanta with a Chick-fil-A kickoff, that is for now a bit out of style. What is in style is on-campus home-and-home series. We've heard Kirby Smart talk about that. We've heard Greg McGarry talk about that. The being in a home-and-home environment for games like this has just got more value now than the big-time neutral site game. The fact is, whether you go to Atlanta, Orlando, Dallas, whatever, those are big cities, and you're close to probably a pretty significant alumni base, but it's not as good for recruiting as what's going to happen in week four this year when Notre Dame comes to Athens and there's a line of five-star recruits all up and down the sidelines who want to be there in that game and be there in that environment. If you really want to get the most value out of a non-conference game, it needs to be a home and home to get a chance to do that. So one of the exciting things for me, and I know that Georgia's going to play in the Chick-fil-A kickoff next year against Virginia, and I'm fine with that. They're going to do one of those with Clemson coming up too. They got some of that kind of stuff coming up, and I'm fine with doing that. It's better to have a good non-conference game than not, but the best opportunity of all is that really good home-and-home non-conference game. And the fact that Georgia's got that with Florida State and got that with Clemson coming up way in the future is, to a certain degree, a good piece of news. I'll also add my own opinion in on something, and then we'll move on and talk about something else for a couple of minutes. My own opinion on this is, and we do this a lot on Dog Nation Daily, on kind of just those days where we're just kind of chatting and having a good time, especially with our video comment section as a part of our R.S. Andrews cooldown. Sometimes the subject will come up, hey, B.A., if you could play any non-conference opponent, who would you want to play? Well, for me, believe it or not, on my shortest of short lists of stadiums I'd love to see Georgia go to, opponents I'd love to see Georgia play, Doak Campbell Stadium at Florida State and playing against the Florida State Seminoles would kind of be on one of my short lists of who I'd really like to see Georgia go out there and play. I think there's some real value in doing what Georgia did in 2017, going above the Mason-Dixon line, going into the Midwest, taking on a non-Southern team like Notre Dame. Georgia will do that in a few years when it heads back to Pasadena again to play UCLA. There's some, going to the Southwest, going to Austin to play Texas in a few years. There's some value in leaving your region. I think the brand of Georgia grows when you do that. But let me tell you something. There is also something really special about regional rivals. And Georgia and Florida State haven't played very much over the course of their history, but they are still, to a certain extent, regional rivals in that if you go down to Moultrie, Ragoff country, go down to Albany, go down to Colquitt County, you go down to that area down there, which can be kind of a hotbed for recruiting, Thomasville kind of in that area. You are really just a stone's throw from Tallahassee. A lot of folks who live in that southwest corner of the state, kind of a rural agricultural area, but a lot of folks who live down there, there are some Florida State fans in the state of Georgia. So the same way you get that kind of geographic war in Augusta between Georgia and South Carolina and in Columbus between Georgia and Auburn and maybe up north between Georgia and Tennessee, you get some of that in that southwest corner of the state with a lot of Florida State fans who live in the state of Georgia just north of Tallahassee. So this will be a big deal when that game is played. I think there's a real value to regional rivalries. I grew up in a time in which Georgia had a lot of regional non-conference rivalries. In the 80s, when I was a kid, you only played six conference games per year. Believe it or not, it was a 10-team SEC, only six conference games. So, about half of Georgia's schedule was non-conference opponents, and many of those were non-conference teams that Georgia played every single year. Obviously, Georgia Tech, for a long stretch, it was Clemson. It was South Carolina back then, too, as a non-conference opponent when South Carolina was an independent before it joined the SEC. These were regional rivals, and that was a really fun thing. So Georgia and Florida State, who go head-to-head on a number of recruits. You can think about examples of that in the past. You'll see examples of that with the 2020 class. You might as well play that team on the field, same way with Clemson. So I think this is a really fun thing, and I think that if this is where college football is heading, I think it's a really big step forward for the program. I just think that that we're going to see a lot more of this kind of stuff in the future. And we're also going to see an evolution that we can't quite predict in terms of how the SEC is going to change, how the college football playoff might change. But for now, though, it certainly looks like Georgia is leading the way in terms of building up better schedules and putting together a more fun product. And I think that's kind of a good thing. All right, we'll move on here. It's Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you. Thanks for being with us live on video, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rev, and we are available as a podcast where you can find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. And if you want more details on the scheduling announcement that was made just a couple of moments ago, please make sure you check that out at DogNation.com. News on the now scheduled series with Florida State, news on the now scheduled additional series with Clemson, and kind of what else Georgia has coming up on the non-conference basis, Texas, UCLA, some of the other stuff. You know, some of these years start to feel way into the future, but as I said before, you blink your eyes, you're going to be right there getting ready to play these games, or at least, you know, assuming that college football still looks the same way it does now in a decade or so. But you can get more of that at DogNation.com. We're going to get Jeff Sintel coming up here in just a moment. We'll do a Marlowe's Tavern tell-all with Jeff. A lot of recruiting news to get with him. Let me, though, for now, talk for a couple of minutes about what I intended to originally begin the show with, which is what I think is some pretty interesting evaluations taking place when it comes to Georgia and some of the early enrollees who've already made a pretty strong impact in their first few practices in Georgia uniforms. Now, you have to kind of couch some of this just a bit because, for the most part, players say good things about other players. However, in the evaluation that you're starting to hear for some of the 14 guys who are going through Georgia practices for the first time, I don't necessarily think this is puffery. I don't necessarily think this is just something that's being tossed out there because this is what fans want to hear. I get the impression a few of these Georgia newcomers really are making pretty strong names for themselves. Example of that, certainly on the defensive side of the ball, with a couple of those outside linebackers, Georgia trying to improve its pass rush. A couple of the guys who just arrived to Georgia apparently are well on their way to being able to do that. In fact, Georgia's right tackle, Isaiah Wilson, battling these guys every single day of practice, said, yeah, there are two guys that just got here that I've certainly noticed. Here's what Isaiah Wilson said about this on Saturday.
Nolan is really strong. He's a great player. He's going to be a great talent. He's really athletic, super strong kid. Jermaine is really, he long-armed me a couple of times, and I have to get my hands right with him. So he's tall, and he's really filled out well. He's super strong. So those two have probably been, for me, what I've, the two that have shocked me.
Let me give you a little bit of backstory on this and why I think what Wilson says about Smith and Johnson is a little more interesting than maybe you might even think. You know, a lot of times players are asked about a certain player and they'll give their opinion because if it's a question they're going to be asked about. For instance, you've heard a lot of talk on Stetson Bennett the last few days. Most of that talk is generated by questions about Stetson Bennett. This wasn't volunteered information. This was players being asked about Bennett because Bennett met with reporters on Saturday. Therefore, reporters just wanted a little bit more background on Stetson. In the case of Nolan Smith right here, though, he wasn't asked about Nolan Smith and Jermaine Johnson. He was asked just a generic question and said, no, let me tell you about two guys that I have noticed. I've noticed Nolan. I've noticed Jermaine. And from my standpoint, that makes what Isaiah has to say there a little more significant and a little more interesting. And it really coincides with what we've heard from Kirby Smart on this, too, and other practice observers, that so far these two young men are really looking the part. Superman plays, remember that phrase from last week? So I think that's really good news. Also, to stay on the defense for a moment, a couple of other newcomers that we've heard some good things about. Kirby Smart at different times has praised Tyreek Stevenson for his work on the field, if not always for what's happened with him off the field. DJ Daniel a bit as well. I know Connor Riley wrote about that at DogNation.com in the last few days. Well, one of the guys working with them in that defensive secondary is Eric Stokes. Stokes is presumably a starter and one of the leaders for that group. At least he's trying to hold on to that starting job, but that doesn't mean he doesn't notice what some of the young guys are doing around him, and he likes some of the stuff that he's seeing from a couple of the early enrollees in that group, Tyreek Stevenson and DJ Daniel. Here's Eric Stokes on that topic.
Oh man, they are two competitors. Like, I'm not gonna lie, like, they love going at it. They, like, I know for a fact if they get beat, they come back mad. They all just, like, I mean, like, I just love them, having them out there with us, because, like, I just need somebody that I know for a fact. If he get beat, he get messed up. He got that. He got a competitive nature to where I know for a fact that next play he finna give it all he got.
I really like that from Stokes because I think he speaks to the mentality that's needed, not just for you as an individual defensive back, but how you look at somebody on the other side of you. Let's face it, being a defensive back in the SEC with these very fast, very tall receivers, it can be a kind of a stressful position to play. It can be kind of a real challenge. And the level of trust you need to have with the guy on the other side is pretty significant. It sounds like Daniel and Stevenson are on their way towards earning that trust from Stokes, which I think is kind of a cool thing, too. And let's face it. Look, I've been a sports fan my entire life. Sports fans, whether it be college or professional sports, there's always going to be a lot of love for newcomers. In pro sports, it's rookies. Baseball season just started. Everybody wants to know who the good rookies are, especially on your favorite team. Mine's the Braves. You're always looking for those. Who are the good rookies? Who are the good young guys who are going to impress? College football's the same way. We'll always like freshmen, and during spring practice, we'll always like early enrollees. And this crop of early enrollees seems to be a lot of fun. Let me squeeze in one more on the early enrollees. It's a guy that you have read a lot about at DogNation.com over the last couple of days, a guy who's not necessarily new to Georgia, but he is back at Georgia now for the first time as a scholarship quarterback. And it sounds like much the same way that Nolan Smith and Jermaine Johnson and Tyreek Stevenson and DJ Daniel from that crop of early enrollees are doing a pretty good job making names for themselves. It sounds like Stetson Bennett, in competition to be the backup quarterback, is also building on the reputation that maybe he kind of already had. Here's some good stuff, more from Eric Stokes again, talking about what he's seen from Stetson Bennett, and he throws a nice compliment Bennett's way.
With Stetson, bro, you can never lay off your high horse. Like, Stetson can put it on the money. He can put on a dime. He can throw it any type of way. Stetson is a one-of-a-lifetime quarterback, and I love that he's here with us. I mean, to be that size and to be able to do the things that he can do, it's really unbelievable.
Yeah, listen, I like that compliment from Stokes towards Bennett. It's kind of funny to me how much players like Stetson Bennett. And I mentioned this yesterday during the video portion of our program, that when you get a chance to spend some time with Bennett on Saturday, I did, you see some of the moxie that I think makes him attractive to his teammates. Teammates want to believe their quarterback is a leader. I think it's easy to believe that with Bennett. It's not a guarantee that translates on the field to successful play, but there's definitely an intangible quality that Bennett seems to be bringing to the table, and Eric Stokes seems to have noticed that as well. All right, we are now very, very busy because we just did a whole bunch of stuff that we hadn't planned on doing on the Florida State series, the Clemson series, but that's good news for Georgia as it's announced today, even if the games are well into the future. We got a lot more coming up later on. We'll announce our Braves ticket giveaway in just a moment as well, but for now here on Dog Nation Daily, let's get ready to talk to Jeff Sintel right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Jeff Sintel joins us here for our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all, a little recruiting talk with Jeff. It's good to have him back on the program on this Tuesday here today. And Jeff, let me say good morning to you. Thanks for being with us. You've had some great stuff at DogNation.com over the last couple of days. I look forward to unpacking more of that with you here, and we just appreciate your time.
Well, Brandon, I just hope I don't stink up the joint, man. You know, this is now, Dog Nation has been referred to by one of your loyal viewers and listeners as classy, obnoxious homerism. You know, that's like Bill Murray, Lost in Translation, one of those ads. I can just see Brandon with a sipping some green tea or something like that on a billboard across 75. Classy, obnoxious homerism.
Yeah, that's almost like the pull quote for our movie poster. I'll take that. I guess I've been called worse than that. I don't mind that. And I got a lot of recruiting stuff I want to talk to you about, Jeff. Let me, though, from a recruiting standpoint, ask you about the news that we just learned a moment ago. Home and home coming up with Florida State. Home and home coming up with Clemson. Forget the fact these are many years into the future. That's the only kind of scheduling decisions you can make right now, I think, just given the way most other schedules kind of already locked in. I'm a big believer that home and home is much better for recruiting. I'm a big believer that battling these programs on the field that you battle in recruiting, certainly Clemson, to a pretty strong sense, Florida State as well. I just think these are important next steps for the Georgia program. I know people like the out-of-region games at Notre Dame or Texas or UCLA. I think some in-region non-conference rivals can be kind of fun too, and I, for one, am pretty excited about this news. As a recruiting observer, where do you land on it?
Brandon, the first thing I thought of when I saw it was, I thought of two things. Number one, I thought, well, that's a long ways away. Nolan Smith will probably be in his seventh year in the NFL by the time FSU and maybe that Gator Hater countdown will be somewhere around 3,144, hopefully. I know, at least in your sense of the world.
Sure.
But the second thing for me is like, I just think kind of stability. You see Dabo being around at Clemson that long. You see Kirby being at Georgia that long. I don't know if FSU might be on its third coach by then. Maybe they will have signed a couple of quarterbacks by the time that Georgia and FSU play again. You know, in all seriousness, though, nobody really thought about that Notre Dame game being very sporty 4 or 5 years out. But then when 2017 and 2019 come along, it's a big blip on the schedule. And I think Georgia's schedule is just so tricky with what they're doing now with Auburn and the annual cocktail party and then the rivalry game at the end with Georgia Tech. Georgia needs to get some of those games to just have more street cred on its schedule at some time. Brandon, I know you follow the SEC. Can you believe Auburn has 9 home games this year?
That's unbelievable. That is an insane number. I actually didn't know they were playing that many home games. That's insane.
Yeah, it is. Crazy.
Let me move on and talk some recruiting. Yesterday in the program, and I know you wrote about this a bit at DogNation.com too, we talked about the fact that Jermaine Burton, a terrific wide receiver who has been a hot topic for us now on both the Marlow's Tavern tell-all here on Dog Nation Daily and Before the Hedges, Burton has now announced that he's going to commit on April 20th. Now, that happens to be G-Day, but it also happens to be Terrence Edwards' birthday. Of course, we know Edwards well, the great former Georgia wide receiver, who's also a personal coach who's had a big impact on Burton. Now, Jeff, I will never pretend to be able to guess what recruits are thinking or what they're going to do, but certainly as news goes in sort of very early April here, I took it as good news that Burton wants to honor Edwards with his decision. I don't know that guarantees he's going to choose Georgia, but it can't hurt, right?
Yeah, but to me, Brandon, at least right now, this really feels a little too buttoned up and tidy right now. Some smart fellows on the Dog Nation forum are already looking at this one, and they got it up on the hydraulics, and they're looking underneath the hood a little bit. And they wonder, you know, LSU has been a big factor for Burton as well. Well, does Burton show up at the LSU spring game coming up this weekend? That might be a tell. I think the thing with Burton, though, and I've kind of talked about this with him before, is he's had so much, I don't want to say instability, but he's just moved around. He's been at Hayfield Charter. He's been at IMG. He's been at Calabasas in California. I think this move for him is just a way to create some stability to his career and some sort of roots to put down, because that's a lot of jumping around. Now, of course, he has excelled and been an alpha receiver everywhere he's been, and I think when I first started getting a really good sense of him, when he went down to IMG, Brandon, and I say this, he basically just parachuted in as a sophomore and became the starter after about 19 sips of Gatorade. That's how quickly he assumed the frontline position at IMG Academy with a lot of other grown men at wide receiver and some dudes there. But he did that as a sophomore and a 2020 kid. He's simply been one of the best receivers in this class for the longest time for me.
You mentioned the fact that he lives in California now, but when it comes to ties to the state of Georgia, is it safe to say that Burton's ties to Georgia are still strong despite the fact that he's 3,000 miles away now?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. Like, he was at G-Day last year. He was with Nick Chubb and Sony Michel in that semicircle that worked for a lot of guys. It worked for Nolan Smith. Maybe didn't work as well for Jaden Hazelwood. Worked to a great deal for Trey Sanders as well, but Georgia just didn't close that one out. I think with Jermaine, he's got a lot of guys he knows at Georgia. Chris Smith, William Poole, guys like that. Obviously, there's the connection there with being that was the school he grew up around a lot of times. But I think I'll just leave my Regis Philbin final answer here on this one. Right now, this one feels a little bit too buttoned up and tidy for folks just to sit there and go, G-Day, DGD's birthday, this looks good for the Dogs. I don't know if I can say that yet.
It is a Marlow's Tavern tell-all here on Jeff's Dog Nation Daily. We are glad to have you with us. And don't forget, if you want to find out more about the big events and special offers going on at the Marlow's near you, make sure you become a Marlow's Insider by text the word Marlow's. That's M-A-R-L-O-W-S. M-A-R-L-O-W-S to 24242, and you can find out about big things happening at the tavern right there in your neighborhood. Jeff and I were at a great event at Marlow's not too long ago and had a terrific time. Just they always roll out the red carpet, always terrific hospitality, and it was certainly fun for us, and you'll love that chef-inspired food when you try it out for yourself. By the way, I've heard some rumors and rumblings that there could be a Dog Nation event coming up at Marlowe's again very soon, too. Can't tell you all the details about that yet, but hope to be able to announce something on that really, really soon. Jeff, let me switch back over to recruiting mode here and talk about some other news that has kind of broken over the last few days. That is legend Cavazos, the pretty good-looking safety prospect from IMG Academy, announcing his top six. Georgia is in that top six. At one point in time, we talked a lot about Cavazos. Then he commits to Ohio State, and then he decommits, I think, because of the unrest involving that coaching staff after Urban Meyer's retirement, I guess you'll call it, whatever you want to call it. Is Georgia still heavily in the mix for Cavazos? I know at one point legend and Nolan Smith really good friends. How much does Smith's presence on the Georgia roster help with Cavazos? What is the latest on this young man that we used to talk a good bit about and just haven't really talked about a lot lately?
Yeah, Legend was another guy that was at G-Day last year. And, you know, the funny thing, I noted this on my blog, was that it's ironic that both Cavazos and Burton announced their commitment finish lines roughly within a matter of a couple of days or 24 hours or so. Those guys were roommates together when that one year that Jermaine Burton was at IMG Academy. There's a really strong connection there. You know, Legend's really close with Nolan Smith. He really just understands the way Nolan thinks. Those guys are really close, and you know that's the type of guys that Legend wants to play with. That said, Cavazos is probably looking for two things, and I know he's still evaluated by the industry as a safety. He wants to be a cornerback. You saw that graphic. It looked like Brandon Adams' beach vacation. It was on a tropical island with palm trees. He sees himself as that man on the island, and that opening testing he put down earlier this year, 4.28, 4.29, 4.3, a lot of really good stuff, and he's an elite athlete, got a track background as a hurdler as well. You just want to see more visits. He hasn't visited Georgia of late. I don't think he's visited Georgia since he decommitted from Ohio State back in December, and he has visited Ohio State, and he has also visited LSU, so what do we say here around here, Brandon, a lot besides classy, obnoxious homerism?
You got to follow those visits.
That's right, sir.
By the way, you brought up something that I was going to ask you about because I'd seen on some of the Ohio State boards and some of the chatter about Cavazos there is that belief that he could be a cornerback. You know, this to me feels a lot like, hey, guards want to be tackles, in some cases would-be defensive players want to play on tight end, play tight end. You know, there's this belief that certain positions are just more high-profile than others and maybe an example of a safety that wants to be a cornerback. But I saw some of the Ohio State guys that said, no, Legend really might be able to be a cornerback. Is that what you have – I mean, I know he wants to do that, but do you see him as a potential cornerback or is safety just his more natural position?
Well, Legend came down to Athens last summer, worked out. I would say the Georgia staff, again, put him on the hydraulics, checked his oil, checked underneath the hood, and they saw everything that they like to see in terms of a corner at the University of Georgia. Now, I don't think that was just recruiting speak, but Legend has the length. He's been battle-tested against elite competition. He is an elite athlete, and he also has those measurables that go very well. Legend wants to be a corner, and I think the fit he's looking for is he's going to hear the school tell him that you're going to be a corner for us. And, you know, look at that list. You've got Miami, you got Florida, you got LSU, you got Ohio State, you got Oregon, you got Georgia. That's a pretty strong group of suitors right there.
All right, let me talk. Before we're done, I want to kind of talk a bit more about a great piece you had at DogNation.com with Justin Robinson and his potential influence or attempt at influence on five-star running back Kendall Milton. I think that's a fun story. We'll do that at the end. Let me do a couple offensive line things before we get there, and I'm going to give this name a shot here. I thought it was a really good piece at DogNation.com, even if I wouldn't want to have to try to read it out loud, given the pronunciation challenge. Akinola Ogbonnaye, I hope I at least got within the ballpark on that one. Let me start with that, Jeff. This is certainly an interesting young man and another example of Sam Pittman making strong impressions, right?
Yeah, and maybe you're in the ballpark, maybe the way the Braves were up there at Citizens Bank up there in Philly in the opening season. For the record, sir, Akiola Ogunbi. The N in the first name is silent, and then it really just sounds like Ogunbi. You feel like you're tripping over the phrase or the phonetics Gumby and the pronunciation of the last name, you're probably on the right track there.
Perfect.
With him, I mean, gosh, I really try not to over-season the steak or whatever, but, you know, when you talk to as many guys as we do here at Dog Nation and you try to say, how is this kid different? How are people going to know him besides just being the number 12 offensive guard? He just routinely almost stunned me with everything he had to say. And I guess it starts with, I guess, a couple of songs that would be on Brandon Adams' playlist, I guess. That would be the delightful song for every female in America between the ages of 30 and 45, probably, which is the Escape song, the Pina Colada song by Rupert Holmes. Everybody get in there in those comments, and if everybody knows somebody that loves that song, you know, you're going to have a kindred spirit here with a Gundy, because, man, this kid is 16 years old. He's lived in London, Chicago, Houston. He's been in his native Nigeria. Only started playing football when he was only started watching football when he was a freshman. And yet, probably the two favorite songs on his playlist are Hooked on a Feeling by Blue Suede and then the Escape by Rupert Holmes. I mean, that seems like the kids watch the Guardians of the Galaxy movie a little bit there, but you keep learning from him and how he looks at his recruitment in terms of a location. And you look at how he looks at his recruitment in terms of his mother just suffered a stroke and she's mending, and just a very mature way of looking at it. And maybe the biggest one where I kind of felt a lot of times that interview was drifting into April Fool's joke territory, man, was when he told me he's never pass blocked in a game. And here you have a school in Texas where I think I wrote a line that said something like, apparently the spread hasn't spread all the way across Texas, because Akiola told me that his high school team threw maybe three passes last year. And I was like, you know, what is that mem or whatever with Cousin Eddie from the Griswolds? You know, you serious, Clark? You know, I'm just not used to hearing that. A high school kid never pass protected in a game, and yet he does so well at the camps with an 80-plus wingspan. But there's a high school football program somewhere in the state of Texas that got by and got a young man up to 2,000 yards, only throwing the football around about four or five times in all of 2018. And I'm sure the Kemper High Daily program is feeling a lot of things about why they don't put the ball in the air more.
So try that one more time. So Ogbunbi has some odd music choices. Certainly he enjoys those. I don't know how well that play at a Georgia practice, though, which is slightly different, as I just completely butchered what I thought was going to be a pretty good segue, to Cedric Van Pran, whose music choices also got some attention for a different reason. Jeff, I think this is also an interesting story in this pursuit of Georgia offensive linemen.
Yeah, and let's have fun. Let's do a little mini game inside this Marlowe's Tavern tell-all right here. You guys, and I want Connor to weigh in as well behind the glass, and yourself as well, Dr. Daly. If Kirby Smart gave you the aux cord and let you pick the first song of a Georgia practice, what would it be?
Well, you know, for me, it's going to be something like rock and roll, like, right? It's going to be like not that I'm always listening to rock and roll, but for a practice like that, that's what it's going to be, like an AC/DC Thunderstruck or something from Metallica or something like that. I feel like that's the kind of thing that would get you going for a practice, I guess. How about for you, Jeff? What would it be?
I would probably go Kevin Gates, I Don't Get Tired. I just like that as an anthem for
is
working
that a song?
Out. For yeah, that's a song. I'm sure folks in the feed will back me up, but it's a Kevin Gates song, The Man Who Has Two Phones, I Don't Get Tired. That just seems like a way to kick off a physical activity at the University of Georgia for me. And, you know, I'd love to hear what Connor has to say on this, and I'd love to hear what everybody else has to say in the comment section.
Yeah, we'll weigh in on the comment section on that and do that as part of our R.S. Andrews cooldown a little bit later on in the show. Let me squeeze in one more thing, though, Jeff, while I've got you. I loved your piece. You know, we talked, I think it was on Friday, about Justin Robinson, the four-star receiver, and you know, what he was doing with Kendall Milton, and Milton's been kind of in the news here and there for various reasons, you know, as we were trying to make guesses about his next visit, you know, if he will visit Georgia, what his college choice is going to be. And I loved your look at Robinson trying to have some influence over all of that. I mean, where do you think all of this stands at right now?
Well, first of all, folks need to probably start thinking about that Justin Robinson kid. Give that young man a lot of respect, because this is a young man that when we talked about Pied Pipers of the classes before, now Richard LeCount and Nolan Smith could talk their way in the Olympics with Brandon Adams, but Justin Robbins is a guy that Justin Robinson is a guy that it doesn't come naturally to him. He's not very outgoing. His parents, some people really close to him, when they saw that interview we did with him on Dog Nation, and that thing went about 5 minutes, they're like, how in the world did you get that thing past 2 minutes with him? Because he's not naturally a talker, or at least it doesn't come easy to him. And yet he's got a relationship there with Milton that goes back to the eighth grade and an academic, athletic, All-American event out in Texas. He hung out with Milton then. They were at the Cotton Bowl together. And he really likes Milton, and he basically shares the fact that Kendall is really feeling the dogs right now as well.
That's really exciting to think about, Jeff, and the kind of thing that gets you excited about when that visit may take place. And you're sticking to your original guns on this, what Milton's father told you not too long ago, that we're going to get this thing sometime before this junior high school season is over for Kendall Milton, because obviously if Georgia tries to make that influence on Milton, you got to get him on campus to really do that. Is that kind of still where you're going with that?
Oh, yeah, multiple sources. Everybody expects that he will be on campus before the end of his junior year. To that group right there, they feel like they have not done their due diligence in their process here until they check out the University of Georgia. I think we've said this a lot. I know their crystal ball chatter is what it is, and sometimes we drop some things on the Dog Nation forum about that. But, you know, sometimes recruits are able to lean a lot of ways, and the crystal ball doesn't actually reflect it. Several big names of late, George Pickens, mind you, would be one of those over the last 3 or 4 months that proves to that. But, you know, with that one right there, we said this on this program, man, going back to, I think, last August. I think Kendall Milton hears from some representative of the University of Georgia, and usually it's either Del McGee or Coach Kirby Smart, just about daily when it comes to the Bulldogs. And that's definitely why that family wants to take a look at Georgia. And it also is mixed in there with that RBU tradition and what Georgia does about putting the ball on the ground and getting big backs into the NFL.
Let me squeeze in one real quick tiny thing on this same subject. We talked about this in our video comment section for a bit yesterday. Given the fact that Milton lives in California, and at least based on everything that I've heard, not just from, you know, Georgia talk, but around the country, it almost seems like he's destined to go somewhere a long way from his home to play his college football. Does that make the whole follow the visits mantra less significant in trying to predict what he might do because of the challenges associated with making long-distance travel, that when it comes to predicting Milton, you won't necessarily be able to use a whole bunch of visits to be able to do that? Is that fair to say, or do you have a different take on that?
Well, I think with him, what they really have is it's still a public top 10 out there, but he's basically whittled that thing down to about six or seven. And what he's looking to do is he's looking to get that down to five. And then those will be his official visits. So this is kind of like he's pre-selecting the University of Georgia with that first visit as an official visit candidate right there. And yeah, he might make that trip along with Clemson. He might make that trip along with an Alabama, another school like that. But for the longest time, he has contended that the SEC has looked very enviable to him as a destination to just compete against the best and go up against the best. And he's well versed on how well the offensive line room looks at the University of Georgia and how guys like DeAndre Swift aren't going to spend a lot more time in Athens, to say the least.
All right, Jeff, thanks so much for being a part of our Marlowe's Tavern Tell On. By the way, if you want the inside information about Marlowe's, the same way that Jeff gives us inside information about UGA recruiting each and every week, then become a Marlowe's insider by texting the word Marlowe's. That's M-A-R-L-O-W-S to 24242. That's M-A-R-L-O-W-S to 24242. The chef-inspired food, all the great hospitality that Marlowe's rolls out, those craft cocktails they take such care in making by hand each and every day. You can experience that for yourself in the tavern right there in your neighborhood. But to learn more about it, the easiest way, text Marlowe's, M-A-R-L-O-W-S, to 24242. Jeff Sintel, great stuff. Thanks for being here and being a part of the program with us. We'll look forward to reading a bunch from you at DogNation.com, and I will see you back here in our Dog Nation World Headquarters studios tomorrow at 3 p.m. for Before the Hedges. Jeff, looking forward to that.
All right, Brennan, everybody, get those new chickpea fries at Marlowe's and have yourself a very good Tuesday.
Good stuff, Jeff.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, on the subject of Kendall Milton, I said this yesterday as a part of our R.S. Andrews cooldown. It's the video portion where we take a bunch of comments at the end of the day. That if you compare choosing a college as a five-star running back to buying a car, One of the things that you see in life now is a lot of folks buy cars without having test driven them. There are no shortage of online car services that offer that opportunity. Tesla has essentially built a very big business on you do your research online, you decide that's the car for you, and then in some cases you buy that thing and you have it delivered to you and you haven't driven it yet, you just know it's probably the one for you. I think when you look at a family like Milton, who seems to be pretty savvy with how they're going through this recruiting process, as Jeff said, they see a lot of things with the SEC they like. In the case of Georgia, this may be a bit of wishful thinking, but there's also the assumption they see the way that Georgia has made stars out of running backs, and they are doing their due diligence online without having stepped foot on the campus for the proverbial test drive. I think we may be seeing, maybe in the case of Kendall Milton, the start of a new kind of recruiting where I'm never going to tell you that visits aren't really, really important. I'm never going to tell you that. But for programs like Georgia and the programs like Georgia that want to be national recruiters, I think visits may become less important because for a lot of people, when you're talking about 3,000 miles worth of distance, you're not going to be able to take those visits week after week after week the same way we see some of the in-state guys able to do. It's at least food for thought, and maybe to a certain extent wishful thinking, because obviously Milton's the running back that I'd love to see Georgia get more so than any other. But we'll pay attention to that. By the way, let me remind you that the best decision you can make, speaking of online, is the decision to invest in yourself. You know, I'm 42. Many of you, you know, kind of once you get to that sort of adult age, whatever, however you define adult, the one thing you start thinking about is, okay, I guess it's probably time for me to start investing in something. You know, sometimes you think about the money that you make and how much of that money you're keeping and what your plan is for the future to have more money than you have right now. Well, obviously the markets are a great way to do that, but how do you invest in the markets? Well, invest in yourself so that you know how to do that, so you can make money in the markets. Check out my friends at Online Trading Academy. You can find them online at tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. That's tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. All kinds of asset classes, all kinds of trading styles in the classroom and online. Online Trading Academy has that for you. It's Trading Academy with a D, tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. You can find out about some great stuff they have going on right now. All right, a couple of SEC stories to get through here for a moment. I was looking on Twitter last night. Do y'all remember our old buddy Ryan Fowler, radio host in Tuscaloosa, Alabama? He's been a guest on Talk Nation before. It's made some of y'all mad as fire. But nonetheless, Ryan's been on the show before. So I was looking at – he put a Twitter question out yesterday and got a lot of responses from his listeners in Tuscaloosa. Alabama fans, are you rooting for Auburn in the college basketball Final Four? Now, my assumption would have been that those – you know, diehard, dyed-in-the-wool Alabama fans, the kind of folks that listen to a radio show in Tuscaloosa, Iron Bowl, the hate that exists in that rivalry, my assumption would have been there would have been just a litany of no way, man, no way, no way, no way. And presumably there were a lot of those kinds of responses, but based on some of the stuff that I saw Ryan retweet last night, there were a few Alabama fans who say, hey, why not show a little home state pride and root for Auburn? Now, backstory here, there was a time in which I was kind of an SEC guy that, you know, and I'm still an SEC homer in the fact that it's the league that I care about more than any other, but there was a time in which maybe I would have considered maybe rooting for Auburn in the Final Four because somehow it's good for the SEC. I don't really feel that way so much anymore, but I would have presumed that Alabama fans would have never done that. But apparently this is a little bit of a thing in the home state right now for Auburn that some Alabama fans are saying, I guess why not cheer for Auburn in the Final Four? I'm not going to oversell this and tell you that's a lot of Alabama fans doing that, but the fact that it's some, to me, is a little bit of a surprise. I thought that was kind of interesting from Ryan Fowler. Something else that I thought was kind of interesting, there had been some rumors and some conjecture that John Calipari may consider taking another job this offseason. He might go to UCLA or something like that. Well, I guess Calipari's now made this official himself that, no, he's going to plan on staying at Kentucky. ESPN put him as saying, why would I go anywhere else? And he's now got what's being called a lifetime contract. Now, for the life of me, I don't really understand, you know, what a lifetime contract is. We see coaches rip up and void their contracts all the time. So what's the difference between a lifetime contract and a five-year contract? I guess there is one thing, though, that all the talk about Calipari and the lifetime contract and would he leave Kentucky and the disappointing loss to Auburn from a Wildcats fan perspective, I have to admit that being a Kentucky basketball fan must be about the worst thing in the world. And I don't mean this as like a shot against. I know I joked the other day about Kentucky Sports Radio and Matt Jones and some of the stuff they said about Dog Nation. This is not a shot. This is not a joke. I'm being serious. every single year they bring in, you know, top flight recruits. Now, it hasn't been as great as of late. They've lost some recruiting battles to Duke as of late, but it's still a lot of one and done type players. And man, it is a lot of NCAA tournament disappointment as of late. And if you're a Kentucky fan, it's like you get this regular season moment of having this fun team to watch, and you know, Rupp Arena is presumably full, and you're celebrating all these big time players, and they go in the NBA, and you know, Karl-Anthony Towns, and you know, Anthony Davis, and all these guys go on to big time careers in the NBA level. But in some cases, especially in recent years, what have those guys gotten you in terms of the NCAA tournament? And you know, to me, it's like this constant celebration of pipeline from high school to the NBA. But what about for that 1 year they are in Lexington? What are Kentucky fans getting out of this experience? I've actually been kind of interested to watch the response from Kentucky fans about another Wildcats loss in the NCAA tournament. I actually feel a little sorry for them because it seems like the program right now is benefiting everyone but the fans. It's clearly a good pipeline to the NBA. The NBA draft proves that. But the fans themselves don't get a lot to cheer for in the games that matter most. And from a Kentucky fan standpoint, I imagine that's probably not too much fun. One more very quick SEC story. We have four spring games coming up this weekend, so make plans for that. They'll all be televised in some form or fashion. South Carolina, Arkansas, LSU, Ole Miss. I imagine we'll probably talk more about these in the days ahead, but go ahead and be thinking about this Saturday for four big SEC spring games on the docket, and we'll make that your SEC through. All right, coming up in just a moment. We yesterday set forth a contest to give away some Braves tickets for Thursday and for an upcoming Sunday night game. So we will announce the winners for those coming up in just a moment. So stay tuned very closely if you were hoping for that. Let me go back to something I intended to talk about a little earlier. One of the things that I think is really fascinating right now is a player that we haven't seen on the field very much continues to be talked up behind the scenes a lot. I played a little audio earlier from Georgia cornerback Eric Stokes, and I also talked about how when a player brings up a player that he wasn't asked about, I always think that's really interesting. Well, Stokes was asked by our own Mike Griffith from Dog Nation, hey, you're battling wide receivers every day in practice. Who is a receiver that's impressed you? Now, you might be thinking the answer would be J.J. Holloman or Demetrius Robertson or, well, there's potentially a long list of guys that it might be. But listen to Eric Stokes says, and listen to how emphatically he says it. I think this is interesting. Judge it for yourself.
Of course, Matt Landers, like, that's a, like, Matt, like, we all, like, I know we all knew what type of person Matt was and all that, so I love to see the type of things that Matt doing now, because Matt is a person that's really hard to, I mean, like, he give you problems flat out as a DB.
Matt Landers gives you problems flat out. Now, defensive backs are a confident lot. They don't like admitting that anyone gives them problems, but Stokes says that easily about Landers. I think that's interesting. And it could be easily brushed off as maybe Stokes and Landers are just friends. But look at all the other instances in which Landers' name comes up. Remember the Mike Griffith piece he wrote from Indianapolis, the scouting combine? When you asked Georgia, former Georgia receivers, about who's going to step up? I think we have some examples of this, don't we? Riley Ridley told Dog Nation, I'll bet on J.J. Holloman, and I'll bet on Tyler Simmons. And Ridley says, and Matt Landers. But Ridley wasn't the only guy mentioning Matt Landers. Terry Godwin say, I'd say Matthew Landers. Even gives him the official name. Kyrus Jackson, Tommy Bush, too. There are quite a few back there. I'm pretty sure they will show out this year. That's Godwin also mentioning Landers. And not to be outdone by that, Mecole Hardman says, a guy that comes to mind is Matt Landers if he gets his head right in the playbook now, which is maybe what's kept him off the field up to this point. He'll have his name called on Saturdays, then Hardman goes on to mention a few others. Now, isn't this interesting that we don't hear a ton from Landers from coaches, and we haven't seen a ton from Landers on the field, but boy, we have heard Georgia players talk about him a lot, much like Stetson Bennett, a guy who made a name for himself as a scout team player back during that 2017 run to the college football playoff. Now, it's also worth pointing out that a guy that we've mentioned on Dog Nation Daily a couple times over the last few days, the former Georgia wide receiver Terrence Edwards, who's also a terrific wide receivers coach, when he was with us on the Dog Nation video channels last week, he also was taking a long look at Landers, as well as Tommy Bush, as one of those receivers who you may not be thinking about a ton now that could break out in a big way in 2019. Here's what Edwards said about that last week.
I think the two big receivers have Bush And Matt Landers is another receiver that I've heard a lot about throughout the whole program, especially from the defensive guys that on the scout team, he's a nightmare matchup for our guys. So the light bulb goes on for Matt Landers. I think he can really have a really productive season.
So do with that what you will. I don't know that means Landers is on his way for that breakout, but behind the scenes, there is certainly an awful lot of chatter. All right, as we wrap up here, let me proudly announce Braves ticket winners. Let's show those to you right now for those of you on video, and I'll give you a shout-out for that as well. Congratulations go out to our winners, Steve Burnett and Gerald Harmon. Steve Burnett, Gerald Harmon, you both are Braves ticket winners, courtesy of the Atlanta Braves and Dog Nation Daily from yesterday. Congratulations to both of you on that. And by the way, make sure you go to Braves.com to find out about all the big things going on as the Atlanta Braves celebrate opening week. And how about the great night last night in the home opener? Ronald Acuna goes yard with a home run, and the Braves got back to their winning ways. That was certainly a great thing to see. Something else that's a great thing to see, our Gator Hater Updater. Around here, we are Gator haters. We don't like those lousy, stinking Gators. And we love the fact that it's been 885 days since Florida has beaten Georgia. It's a number that's really important to us around here. Thanks for being with us on Dog Nation Daily. We'll look forward to seeing you back here again tomorrow.